All righty. Well, yeah. I was going to start the book of Ruth tonight, but you're going to have to come back. There's a reason for it, and I can't tell you why. But I was praying, and I was like, okay, Lord, we're gonna hold off on starting the book of Ruth. But I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about the book of Ruth. It's an amazing, amazing chick flick. It is. The book of Ruth is basically an awesome chick. It's got the drama and the heartache and then the happy ending and the joy and the redemption and the love. And all of that points at Jesus Christ, which is amazing and intricate, detailed story. You think, why would God put a love story? Well, when you figure it out that it's actually about Jesus Christ, it's mind-blowing. But we're gonna postpone that. And you're like, why? Then shut up then already. Tease us. Discernment. I think one of the things that is lacking in the church today is discernment. You see some of these cults, religious cults, Christian cults, and then you see churches that are teaching doctrines that are really destructive to a church body. And so I feel it's important every now and then for us to do what I call Q&As, because it does this also, by the way. If you've ever run into an atheist, oftentimes they have a bunch of cues that they want aid. If you've ever run into a person who is wondering about Christianity and faith, oftentimes they will ask you questions. Or you yourself, if you are a growing believer, oftentimes there's these questions that can stumble you or make it difficult for you to progress. And so what I like to do here at HBC is probably about every 4 months, I like to do a Q&A. Except when I do a Q&A on Sunday, I allow y'all to ask the questions, and I just stand up at the pulpit and I give you the answers. But on a Wednesday, I ask the questions, and y'all give the answers.
Or try to.
But listen, if you give a wrong answer or one that's incomplete, don't feel bad. That's a part of the growing process. And so what I've found is that that's how it gets cauterized in your heart, is when you give an answer. And if it's right, then it's really sealed in there. And if it's wrong, it's okay, because this is a time we want to get the answer right while we're amongst other believers. And we've all answered biblical questions wrong before. I know I have. And I may tonight even. I don't know. Prayerfully, we'll get through this. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask a question, and don't blurt out the answer. I know you're going to want to, especially if you know the answer. What I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand, because we have two gentlemen here that have microphones, and the reason why you're going to need a microphone is to make sure that it gets on the recording, because someone listening on podcast or on a CD, they won't be able to hear you. So by giving you a mic, they'll be able to hear your answer and then the right answer, and that's going to drive it home for them. So here comes your first. Well, let's pray first. I know we prayed after worship, but I need to pray more. So Father, Lord, I love Q&As. I love this time of going back and forth. And Lord, most of all, Lord, I love refreshing these answers in my own heart, so that I will be ready in and out of season to give a defense for the hope that lies within me. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters, and no one worries about whether or not they give the right answer or the wrong answer. It's not a time of boasting, and it's not a time of feeling inadequate. It's a time here of iron sharpening iron. And so, Lord, would you please be amongst us. Holy Spirit, if we learn anything, it's because you have taught us. And so, Lord, we yield to your teaching. Holy Spirit, speak to us tonight, each one of us. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said? Awesome. Okay, here's your first question. Remember, raise your hand. Don't blurt it out. Is this a proper statement? To be saved, all I have to do is follow the Ten Commandments. In order to be saved, all I have to do is keep the Big Ten. You got to raise your hand. Okay, right back here.
That's a false statement.
Why?
Because all I need to do to be saved is to turn away from my sins and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments are...
That was the next thing. So what? Then what? Why do you give us them?
Well, we can't follow the Ten Commandments all the time, and they are more. They bind us. They're more binding than they are.
So the Ten Commandments are a binder.
A binder, yeah.
Three ring binder.
Yes, they bind us like chains. You know.
Okay. So then if they bind us like chains. And we can't keep them, then why in the world would God give them to us? We have someone very excited with the hand waving in the air frantically, a man with much wisdom on his face. The Bible says that's wisdom.
Well, you can't live by the Ten Commandments, and God, the reason he gave the Ten Commandments was because he knew that man couldn't live by them, and Christ fulfilled the Ten Commandments. So everything, Christ didn't fulfill the Ten Commandments. We can't live by them, but Christ has done it all for us. So all we have to do is repent of what we, and confess our sins to him, and he is just to forgive us of them.
Okay, so why did he give them to us?
Why did God give the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
So we would know that we were a sinner and we couldn't live by the Ten Commandments. We can't keep the Ten Commandments. There's no way.
So he purposefully gave us Ten Commandments that we can't keep?
Sure.
Isn't that mean?
Because we needed a Savior.
What?
Because we needed a Savior.
So if we didn't have the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't need a Savior?
If what?
So if he had not given us the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't have needed a Savior?
We wouldn't know we were sinners.
Very good. Very good. Yes, awesome. Listen, even if he had not given us the Ten Commandments, we're still sinners. That didn't change. God gave us the Ten Commandments so that we would know we were sinners, because without them, we wouldn't have known. And he gave us just 10. He didn't give us the 100 commandments. He gave us just 10. And you know what? You can't even keep 10. In fact, if we were to go down the Ten Commandments one by one, odds are you've broken every single one of them. If you think about it. Wait, I've never murdered. Well, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, it's the same as committing murder, because if you could kill him and get away with it, you would. Well, I've never committed adultery. He said, hey, if you look at the opposite sex with lust in your heart, and none of you have ever done that. Yeah. Honor thy father and mother. You're going to tell me when you were a teenager, you honored them perfectly? Yeah. Okay, 1 Timothy, let me give you some verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but the law is made for insubordinates, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, so basically any sin, it's made for us. We are all sinners. And so God gave us just 10. Thank you, Lord, that you limited it. Yeah. He could have just gave us 2, and we would have, we fail. we fail. And of course, they came to Jesus and said, which is the greatest of all the commandments? And he says, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And that's one. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. That's two. We fail at that. I don't. Someone says, I don't. Really? Really? You've never told a lie? You've never stolen? As soon as you do that, you're going contrary to God. And you've never been upset at your neighbor? Well, not my neighbor, but the guy who lives on the other block. He's not a direct neighbor. But the two people right next to me, my immediate neighbors, I love them. No, neighbor means anyone, anyone. They don't have to live next to you. See, that's where we get a little confused. We hear neighbor and we think it's the person who came and borrowed a cup of sugar yesterday. It's not just that. Neighbor means the guy that pulled in front of you and flipped you off the other day. You should to love them. Neighbor means you're a boss who snapped at you. Neighbor means the person sitting five rows behind you or five rows in front of you who did this. We're to love. We're to love. And if we don't love, then we don't look much like Jesus, because Jesus loved even the unlovely. Romans 7:7 says this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would have not known sin except through the law, for I would have not known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. So yes, the law reveals that we needed a Savior. The law, the Word of God, the Ten Commandments is a mirror for us to look at how we fare. And this morning you got up and you looked in the mirror, and if your hair was a mess, you fixed it. If you had no hair, you didn't worry about it. Okay, if you have no hair, you polished, okay? That's a Windex shine right there, Gilbert. It's a beautiful day. Listen, when a person says that I live by the Ten Commandments, then basically what they're saying is they don't need Jesus. Because Jesus said, Father, if there be any other way. And what was the Father's response? Well, we know based on what Jesus said, yet, nevertheless, thy will be done. So what that means is the Father said, Jesus, there is no other way. He didn't go, yeah, you could go to the cross, or if someone out there would just live by the Ten Commandments that I gave them, they'd be okay. No, he didn't say that. So when people say, well, I just live by the Ten Commandments, you have my permission to do that. You do. Yes, sir. Oh, you need a microphone. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I don't know the Bible that well, but I'm thinking there's got to be a scripture in there that I can justify not loving my brother, myself, or my neighbor. There's got to be something in there. I think a doormat, something I can pull out of there to justify not keeping those commandments.
What?
Right? There's got to be a verse. You,
okay, can someone decipher? Was that English?
I'm thinking I can pull a verse out of here somewhere to justify not loving my brother as myself. One of the two commandments. Of those two. You know, you said love God with your heart, mind, and soul is one. And Jesus gave us two commandments. And the other one was
love thy neighbor
like yourself.
Right. You think.
And I can find something in there that can justify my actions where I don't have to. You make an exception to the rule. There's got to be another verse in there.
Okay. If you find a verse that, if you find a verse that seems to contradict love thy neighbor, then your understanding of the scripture is wrong, because God would never contradict himself.
That sounds good. Sounds good.
Listen, let me just say this. If ever you find what you think is a contradiction, be excited. Because upon a little more study, you will unfold something that will blow your mind. And I'll tell you, as an atheist, when I got saved and I started reading the Bible, I should have wrote down all the things that I thought were contradictions. I should have wrote them down. And then when I found the answer and I was going, whoa, I just literally drool coming down. I can't believe my brain just, I went catatonic in a closet for a couple hours. But there are no contradictions. And I've tried, and even to this day, I want you to know, even to this day, I try and find contradictions because I'm concerned that an atheist will come to me with a contradiction from the Bible and show it to me. And I'll go, I don't know what to do. So I look for them. And over, you know, not my studies aren't extensive. There's probably guys that have found other stuff that I've missed. But over the years of almost 30 years of searching the scriptures, every time I thought I found a contradiction,
it was not a contradiction.
Yes. Oh, wait. We need a microphone.
Okay. Speaking of contradictions, someone brought this up to me, and I felt kind of stupid. One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill. And then God tells kings throughout the Old Testament to go out and kill and wipe out villages and kill all the men, kill all the women, kill all the cattle. Is that not a contradiction? How does that work?
No. Who wants to answer that before I go off? No one wants to try and answer that? Okay.
It's murder.
Okay, hold the mic to your mouth. Sorry. Don't be afraid of it. Okay. They love you, though.
Yeah.
They want to nestle up in that beard.
It's murder. There's a difference between murder and there's a difference between killing. I killed when I was in Vietnam. I didn't murder these people. But murder
was
premeditated.
Okay, so give me some more. You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But now give me some more to define the difference between murder and killing. How do we distinguish?
David caused the murder of Uriah.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, because I know you know this answer, because your answer is absolutely right. Describe the difference in the heart, because that's what God's concerned with, right? The heart. So what's the difference between a heart of a killer and a heart of a murderer?
Murder's more...
Not a killer, but someone
anger,
who kills.
Hatred. Killing is something that you do for defense. I'm not sure.
Okay.
How you want to arrange that, but murder is more of someone premeditating, anger, hatred, jealousy.
No.
You know, things of that nature. But
okay.
Killing is completely different.
Okay, he's saying no. Let's get the microphone.
I know the difference between murder and kill. It says, "Thou shalt not kill." Because I thought it was murder, too, and I looked it up, and it says, thou shalt not kill.
Did you look up the Hebrew word?
It does not say, thou shalt not kill.
No. Did you look up the Hebrew?
I didn't look up.
Okay, go look up the Hebrew and then come back, okay? But you're looking up in an English translation of a Hebrew word. It can be translated either way. But if you go and look at the actual root word of the Hebrew, it's murder. Because God would not contradict himself. He would not tell the Israelites to go wipe out the Canaanites and then say, thou shalt not murder. Gosh, all that guilt, Lord, obeying you. There's a difference. No greater love has a man than this than lay down his life for his friend. If someone were to try and hurt my bride, I'm going to kill him. Not murder, because I wasn't thinking. Murder is this. Murder is in the heart. It's usually driven by selfishness. How dare you do that to me? It's self-preservation or self-greed or self-lust. You know, well, he's married to her, and we've been fooling around, and I want him out of the picture, so I'm going to get him killed. Why? Because my lust for his bride, and we're, you know, whatever, that was David's thing. That's murder. Killing is like a military man. How many military men do we have in this room? They go to the military to save us and preserve our freedom and righteousness. They lay down their life, but the person they're aiming at, they know nothing about them. They ran into them in a conflict. So that's the difference. But if you do me a favor, if you don't have an exhaustive concordance, you need one if you're a Bible student. And then look it up. You can go to blueletterbible.com and just click on it and look up the word. It's a lot of fun. Blue Letter Bible. Okay, let's keep moving here. Does that answers it, right? Okay, good. Someone want to tell me what is the difference between Christianity and other religions? Is there a difference? Okay, we got another hand up, a person I haven't heard from in a long time. No, I'm just making a joke. No, awesome, bring it. What's the difference?
Well, one difference is that we know that our Savior is coming back, whereas other religions, their saviors are dead and gone and not coming back.
Dude, I worship the oof, the golden egg, and the golden egg is coming back, and I promise it will. And when he does, out will come out this half chicken, half duck that is just, we worship him. And I know he's coming back. So,
yeah, that's not real religion,
man. No, well, because you say? Because
no, it's not. I mean, you look at
one like. No, hold on. That is a real religion, by the way. That person comes to this church.
You look at Buddhism?
No. I'm telling you, there's a real religion. What I just described is a real, hon, isn't that a real religion? And the person comes to this church, but she's a snowbird. She's gone now, but she comes here, and that's what she believes.
Why does she come here?
No. Okay. I don't.
Because the Lord brought her here.
But listen. Hold on. He's not done. He needs to hear this. You just said the difference between our religion and other religions is we know that our God, our Jesus, is coming back. But what happens if I bring to you another religion where they believe wholeheartedly, as much as you do, that their God is coming back? So is that what divides us from them? Is that, well, now we've got a fight. Well, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, I'm wrong. No, you're wrong. No, I really believe this. Well, I really believe this.
Mm-hmm. Buddhist, they all believe that they have a savior, but their savior's died.
Right.
And are gone, not coming back. Christianity is the only one where we believe our savior is coming back.
Right.
Okay. Well, you said one.
But you just named off the major religions. But do you realize there are thousands and thousands of minor religions, and some of them may believe that their deity is coming back? And then that's the only difference, is that you believe yours is and they believe theirs is. And now you just have a matter of, well, and then if I'm standing on the outside, it's like, well, you've got his opinion. He's got his opinion. They're both sound the same to me. Wacky. If I'm standing on the outside as an atheist. So, but it was a good answer. For the most part, it's a good answer, but something a little more meaty. We've got two right here. Let us grab these two right here. Because I know you're going to answer it, right? Back
we're
there.
Wrong. We're saved by grace, not by works.
What does that mean?
That Jesus died for our sins and we can't do anything to save ourselves.
Okay, but describe to me, the question was, how does Christianity differ from the rest of the religion? You just described Christianity. I still don't understand what the difference.
The other religions believe that you can be saved by the things you do.
Like what?
Anything you do with the good deeds. By doing good deeds, you can be saved.
You mean like good karma and bad karma, like the karma thing?
Maybe.
Karma, 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 chameleon, that kind of thing?
If karma is good deeds, you know, yes.
Okay, right here, the young lady in the front. You want to take the mic?
No, I was just going to say it's his word. His word is what tells us who's a Christian and who's not.
Okay, but now if I'm an atheist or agnostic and I come up to you and I say, well, how do you know which one's right? And you say, well, the word. And then I say, yeah, but if I go ask a Muslim, they'll say, well, it's the Quran. If I go ask a Buddhist, they'll say, so you say it's your word, they say it's their word. So now what's the distinction here?
Read the book.
So which one is the book? The Quran?
The Holy Bible.
Oh, says who?
Says God.
Says which God?
Our God.
Our God? I don't have a God.
Well, then you need to read the book.
Okay. You're fun. All right. Well, All right, right here. Go ahead, Tommy.
I guess I will. Well, our religion has a living God. We have proved that our Lord and Savior is alive.
What proof is that?
Well, I mean, we didn't just get hatched from that duckling egg, but you know,
yeah, but
our God is alive, and we see it every day, and we are also blessed by our God.
Yeah, but that's what my Muslim friend says too. We've got a hand up here and a hand back there.
Is your God alive?
I don't know, but they think their way is right. I'm playing like someone who doesn't know, like someone in the street.
Look, we had this on stage before.
Yeah, okay. Okay. We got a question right here. Question right here and a hand up there. So go with this question and then that one.
I have another question. Do other religions have prophecies that have been fulfilled?
They claim they do. Some of them claim they do. But there's not any that have been proven. Like, for instance, some person will say, you tell them about prophecies, they'll bring up, Nostradamus. The problem with Nostradamus is he was also wrong. You know, he had some, and the ones that they claim he had right are very vague. And they're not precise. They're kind of out there. But he also had wrong. The thing about the Bible is everything that it prophesied were 100% accurate and very detailed in their prophecies. And so that's the distinction. Because see, here's the thing. Like when you go to a medium, or, you know, one of these people who speak to the dead, so oftentimes there are real spirits in action. There are phony ones. But the Bible says that there are sorcerers. There are people who have the ability to speak to the dead, and it's demonic. And so a demon who's been around for thousands of years can say things based on the human nature and human experience and the fact that, you know, it comes around and around and around and around again. And so someone can what they would say, prophesy, but it's not detailed like what God does. God, like the fact that Jesus Christ rode in to Jerusalem on exactly the day, and you can count the days from Artaxerxes giving the decree and riding on a donkey, and he was born of a virgin. I mean, just go on and on down the list. So when the Bible makes a prediction, it's very precise. So some of them claim to have prophecy, but they're very loose, and most of them are not even proven. They're just kind of out there, but good question. Yes?
Well, I thought I heard the question being, what's the difference?
That is the question.
And the difference to me is basically the prodigal son. Unlike other religions trying to find God, our faith is about God redeeming his people, and that he's come after us to redeem us through the life and death of his son, Jesus Christ. And he not only, he backed it up then with the Holy Spirit in our lives today, and he's an active part of our faith. It's not a philosophy like other religions. It's an active participation with God and his people.
Very good. Yes. And it goes back to the fact that God came after us. With every other religion, you go after him by keeping dietary laws, you know, ceremonies, and self-mutilation in some of them, and using, wearing certain apparel and garments. And the only religion, in fact, every single, the one common denominator in every false religion is that they all have works in order to get to God. Christianity is the only religion that says God came down to us and we cannot be good enough, so he did it for us. We just have to believe it, receive it, and live it. Isn't that cool? All right, so next question. Yeah. Okay, here you go. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 28. You shall not make gashes in your flesh for the dead, or incise any marks on yourself. I am the Lord. So does that mean that tattoos and piercings are a sin? Leviticus says, you shall not make any gashes in your flesh. We got a hand up back here.
I think I can maybe answer this. So because of the culture, I'm going to say that it is okay to have tattoos because the culture at the time and the reasons why they would put the marks in their flesh had to do with like false deities and that kind of thing, or maybe would like, I don't know. Come on, Brie.
Okay. Well, let me use that same thought and say, back in Bible times, during that culture, prostitution was a form of worship. So now, since prostitution isn't a form of worship, it's okay to engage in prostitution. Okay, one more and then we'll get the right answer back there. Well, I know he knows this.
That's under the old covenant, and we're living under the new covenant now.
Covenant?
Right.
Is that like a cabinet, kitchen cabinet?
It's the new covenant. After Jesus died on the cross, we begin living under the new covenant.
And what does that mean?
Died for our sins, and he took it all upon himself, and then that's when the new covenant began.
Okay, so once the new covenant began, we could just throw out the Old Testament, just get rid of that.
You can't throw out the Old Testament, but you're just living under another set of guidelines. They had the Levitical laws, which were 613 of them, and we don't live by any of them anymore.
Okay, why?
Because they're outdated. They're no good.
Oh, okay.
Some of them had logic behind them.
Yeah, and so the Bible, the New Testament, it's like 2,000 years old. It's kind of outdated, too, so we don't have to live under that either, right?
No, we're under the new covenant, and we live under that until he comes again.
But you said the Old Testament's outdated, so we don't live under that because it's outdated.
We don't follow those laws anymore. The other laws came, like you said before, we have the two commandments. Love your God with all your heart and all your soul, and your brother is yourself.
So the Old Testament laws don't have any meaning for us?
Those two laws take care of all those laws.
Okay, but what I'm asking is, so then what's the purpose of having the Old Testament?
The Old Testament all telling you about Jesus when he's coming.
Okay, that's the only reason why we need it?
That's the history of it all.
Okay.
In the beginning, God. And that's when the Old Testament...
So it's okay to have a tattoo?
in my opinion, no, but hey, you know.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's just the way I think, you know, because it's still in there. But
it's still in there.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of those laws.
But that's what I'm asking you. This is the Old Testament. You said we're not under that, and now you say, but it's still in there. So which is it? Do we go and say, no, you can't have...
That's just my feeling on the tattoos.
Okay, but what is the Bible's feeling on the tattoos?
Well, it says you're not supposed to... put that stuff on your body. That's what it says.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Let's see. Go for it.
Steve, thus saith the Lord.
Okay. Well, mine does say, you shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourself. And it says, I am the Lord. And most of the people who were doing that back at that time, they were doing it because they were heathens. They weren't of God. So today, I heard somebody say, because of the culture.
Yes.
So do we do everything because of the culture, or do we do things what God says?
Okay, so let me add some flavor to this.
Okay.
Old Testament... the people who were getting tattoos were heathens. Who was eating pork back then?
Who was eating pork?
Yeah, back then.
It was...
heathens or non-heathens?
It was the non-Jews.
Okay, were they heathens?
Define heathens.
Well, define the tattooed heathens.
I think that, in my personal opinion,
We're all heathens. But it's one, I guess, from it's one person's choice whether you are tattooing your body for kind of, how would I say this, kind of to honor somebody other than Christ. So for me, marking the body is against God's laws.
What law?
The law I just read in Leviticus 19:28 that says, you shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead.
Right.
Nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves.
Right.
I am the Lord.
Right.
So he is speaking it. He's saying it. So then I have to comply with what he's saying.
Because and
it's true.
And the Lord said that anyone who did not honor the Sabbath should be stoned to death.
The Old Testament.
This is the Old Testament, Leviticus. Isn't that the same book that says that if someone doesn't obey the Sabbath, you're to kill them? Or if there's a homosexual, you're to kill them? Or if your slave is disobedient, you're to kill them? Or
kill,
if...
Kill or murder?
Kill. Kill. Okay, we got a hand up right here.
So I have a question. If it's a sin to get tattooed or pierced...
If. You said if. We haven't answered the question. Okay. But
if it is, then where does the Ten Commandment come in as far as love thy neighbor like yourself, you know, as yourself? You're only allowed to love them if they're not tattooed.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but let me answer the tattoo question. Okay? All right. So when you said Leviticus 19:28, and it says, I am the Lord, yes. And I like the answer that we are now under a new covenant. Why? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. Why? Because we could not fulfill the law. Also, as you well stated, a lot of the law was done for practical reasons. One, hygiene. One, for medical and health reasons. They didn't have the same cooking processes that we did, that we do. That's why certain animals and items, God forbade the... hello. I'm sorry, you want to answer? I'm trying to focus here. I'm getting off. Go sit in the back row, and then I can have your conversation. But they're right here. It's like, okay, so, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't even get to finish my answer.
When we become a born-again Christian, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're not to defile the body of that temple. So we have a set of rules after we become a Christian to honor our body. And if we're putting something on our body that is defiling or not lifting Christ up.
I get a tattoo of the name of Jesus in Hebrew.
Well, I cannot argue with you on that one. I can only say if it's bringing disgrace on
okay,
our body.
Well, I need to answer this because we got a couple more hands, but I need to answer this question. And then you can contemplate. But go ahead. We got two hands. Tommy and right here.
Didn't the cutting of the body and the tattooing originate from the satanic side of the Old Testament and for the idols for which they built?
There were all kinds of reasons that people got tattoos. Prostitutes got tattoos, so you could see they were prostitutes. They got tattoos in order to honor their gods. By the way, I want to save this. I want to say, don't let me forget the Cairo. Remember this word, Cairo. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's what's in your heart. I think if I went to a tattoo parlor and got the Harvest Bible Church.
Yeah!
And I don't see the difference between wearing a tattoo on my arm that says Heidel Bible Church, Harvest Bible
Church,
and putting a t-shirt on my body that says Harvest Bible Church.
Okay. That we're splitting hairs. Allow me to please answer the question. One more.
We were made in the image of God, and our body is not to be dishonored, to dishonor him.
Oh.
Yes, sorry.
Now tell everybody.
Okay, I'm sorry. So when they were telling him not to do tattoos, it was because that was their outward adornment of showing their faith or their religion or their status. And we aren't supposed to do that as a status symbol. But we are permitted to do that as long as our heart is to honor God.
Okay. There's some truth in that, but there is one more. let me answer this. Let me answer this. This is a obviously I hit a right button. Woohoo! Okay. In the Old Testament, during the Levitical law being given to man, they had all kinds of reasons for putting tattoos on their body. But when the Word of God is telling us not to put tattoos, first of all, when you understand what is the purpose of the law, first and foremost, the Ten Commandments was to show us that we are sinners. But some of the other laws, like for instance, some of the things that God asked the Jews not to eat. How about some of the fact that they have certain festivals that they have to observe, and the fact that they were on a lunar month and then a 7-day week month? No other nation had a 7-day week. They often all had a lunar month, but they didn't have a 7-day week. Only the Jews did. And they also had the circumcision. And all of these things served two purposes, or actually three. One, and most importantly, to keep the lineage that would bring the Messiah, to keep it intact. So otherwise, if the Jews had gone out and just, you know, got mingled in with this people and these people and these people, the Jewish nation would have been assimilated into the other cultures. So God wanted them to be holy, which means set apart. Then there were the dietary laws and some of these other things in order to keep them healthy, because, you know, you can't cook pork. A lot of nations and over the history eating pork, uncooked pork, it would cause all kinds of plagues and dangers. And the same thing with the fish. Now, of course, now we have a different a situation. Now, getting to this marking of the flesh, how many of you ladies have ear piercings? You weren't born with it. You weren't born with it. How many of your ladies have your mamas have ear piercings? Your daughters have ear piercings. Your sons. Sure. Then there's, you know, there's all these other things. And here's what Paul said in the New Testament. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial for me. Now, the problem is, if we start going to the Old Testament and I start saying, oh, man, dude, you got a tattoo, George? Oh, man, gosh. I start doing that. Why? Well, because the Old Testament says, yeah, brother, but the Old Testament says that if your kid is unruly, you go kill him. Well, I don't see you kill your neighbor. Did your neighbor keep the Sabbath holy? He didn't. Did you kill them? No. Huh. How come you pick and choose the parts of the Old Testament that you say we still live by? And I like the answer you gave. We're under a new covenant. Why? Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And because of that, because he fulfilled the law, guess what? When Jesus Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. Well, unless you come to our church and then you can't dress that way, you can't grow your hair that way, a woman can't wear pants, a man can't wear a skirt. Well, you should get, whatever. You go to Scotland and go to the Christian church and they're all wearing kilts. That's a skirt. And they're like, you know, men and women have to dress differently. I don't know. Jesus wore what looked like a dress to me. So if I dressed like Jesus and came in, you'd say transgender. But it's culture. But more importantly, after the cross, Jews are allowed to marry other nationalities. Because it's no longer about being holy outwardly. It's about being holy inwardly. And a person could be without a tattoo and their hearts could be scarred and evil and wicked. Another person can be covered with tattoos and love the Lord with all his heart, mind, and soul. Our bodies are going to all decay and we get glorified bodies. The other thing, someone says, well, you know, your temple is, you know, God's, we need to take care of it. Well, then put the hamburger down. Yeah. Oh, you drink coffee, do you? You know how bad that is for you. Oh, and pork. Do you really know how high cholesterol is because of pork? And then someone else says, well, I keep myself fit and I have no tattoos. Boy, you are humble too, huh? You see, there's always a problem. And what God is most concerned about is what's in our heart, not what's on my shoulder. Not how long my hair is or how short your hair is. Whether you dress this way or dress that way, he's more concerned with, do you have a right relationship with him? And here you go. Here's the big one. How do you love even your enemies? Well, they got a tattoo. Boy, that's loving. That's not loving. They're not even your enemy. They're, you know. And so to answer your question, there's nothing wrong with having a tattoo, and no one should look down on you. They should look at your heart. And if you love others, then that's a beautiful thing. Oh, Cairo. Yeah, you know. The first century church. They were being killed. They were being martyred. I don't know if you know about Nero. You know, when I first got my computer, my very first computer, there came a program on it called Nero. It was how you burn CDs. And I thought, oh, Nero, that's cool. Until I found out who Nero was. Nero was a guy who used to take Christians and put them on stakes in his lawn, throw a big party, and he would light the Christians on fire to put light for his party. All these dignitaries would come and they'd walk amongst the burning Christians. Oh, how posh. Okay, well, at this time, it was dangerous to be a Christian. So what the Christians would do is, this first century church, they'd get a tattoo of a Cairo, which basically looks kind of like an ichthus this way with a cross hidden in it. And when they'd see it, they'd recognize, oh, you're a Christian. It was like a hidden symbol of Christian being able to know Christian. And how do I know this? My daughter, Stephanie, did research on it, and she put a Cairo on the back of her neck. And I didn't know what a Cairo was, and she educated me on what that is. And so so first century church, they exercised the right. They used a tattoo in order to express to each other, hey, it's safe. I'm a believer too. So that's the first century church. Yes. Well, you do for the CD.
So then my question is this. If it's okay to mark your body, then it's okay for a woman to dress any way she wants to dress and come to church and it's everything is okay.
Okay, first of all, you're talking about two different things, two different items.
Okay.
One, if I get a tattoo, that shouldn't be something that you lust over. I mean, maybe you could. Someone could lust over your short shorts there, Mr. Handsome.
I'd rather have him lust over my shoes.
Okay, well, nevertheless, you see, here's the thing, my friend. Who becomes the standard? Who becomes Jesus. The standard? Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You go to this church and it's, you know, oh, your women wear pants. Well, how disgraceful. Another one says, now, here's the thing. If a woman comes in here, and is overly revealing and causing men to stumble, I'm going to have my bride take her into the office and then say, listen, dress more modestly. You don't want to cause these men to stumble. I know you're a new believer and you're just learning, but you don't want to do that in church. And we'll hope that they'll grow. But to compare that with a tattoo, I don't see the precedence.
Well, some people see tattoos and they say, well, I'm going to get a tattoo because George just got a tattoo over here and it's really cool, so I need a tattoo. So is he stumbling?
No, because it's no sin committed.
So a woman who...
If I see your cool, chilling beard and I go, I want a beard too, am I sinning?
Because you want a beard?
Yeah.
It depends on how you desire the beard. You know? Yeah, look at Steve.
Yeah.
Steve's with beards.
That's right. Look at you two. You see, I don't get that question, man.
Well, the question is...
Oh, look, he drives a Ford. I want a Ford. Oh, I'm a sinner.
Well, yeah, it depends on how you look. Okay. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that what you said was if somebody gets a tattoo...
Yay! Good for you.
Okay. So,
do you love the Lord? You willing to forgive? No, I'm talking to this invisible guy who got the tattoo. Oh. Do you love the Lord? Are you willing to forgive your enemies? Do you love His word? Do you love to worship? Are you, is God, Jesus changed your heart? Great. Do whatever you want to your arm.
Okay.
Now, if a woman comes in here in a mini skirt and sitting in properly and cleavage showing, I'm going to say, whoa. I understand. And now I'll also look at her and go, is she a new believer? Is this her first time here? First time? Hey, listen to the word, pray. But you also can't. Now, if it's someone who's been walking in the church for a while and one day she comes in like that, I'm going to say, well, why were you thinking that? Well, why would you do that? You're going to cause men to stumble. There's a stumbling there. There's a lusting there, which God talks about sexual lust. He doesn't talk about tattoo in the New Testament. Jesus never talked about a tattoo. He did talk about lusting.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I agree.
So trying to put the tattoo, the desire for a tattoo, and lusting in the same category it's apples and oranges. Not even apples. That's like apples and kiwi or kumquats or something. So does that make sense, y'all? Listen, if we start to be the spiritual police, then you've got to look at, what do you drink? Do you drink diet soda with aspartame in it, which is basically embalming fluid? Okay, well, no, I don't drink that. Well, are you overweight? Are you on and on and on? If we're going to go, the body's the temple, yeah, then put the Holy Spirit in there. Do you realize that the first tabernacle was ugly? It was ugly. It's covered in hair, animal skins, piled on animal skins, Ugly on the outside. Why? Because the inside was where it was beautiful. Jesus was ugly on the outside. It says no comeliness that anyone should desire him. He was ugly. In this room, he'd be the ugliest person that walked in this room. But he'd be the most beautiful on the inside. So God is worried about our hearts, because you looked at the scribes and the Pharisees and they were, whitewashed tombs. They had the most expensive religious outfits on and did everything by the letter and by the book. And he said, you're dead. You're brood of vipers. You sons of the devil. We got to be careful that we don't look down, because as soon as we look down, we are being prideful. And we also have to make sure that we're not being judgmental, but that we're operating in grace. Does that make sense? So is it okay to get a tattoo? If you want one. If you don't want one, don't get one. Is it okay to have a beard if you want one? Is it okay to pierce your ears if you want it? If you don't get it. Is it okay to get plastic surgery? No, it looks horrible. I'm just teasing. If you want plastic surgery, go for it. Because ultimately, here's the thing, just like cremation, people ask me, is it okay to be cremated? Yeah, you get cremated. We came from dust. Well, listen, they put you in a box, you decay, go back in there, 25, 50 years later, it's dust anyway. You know, what happens to the Christians that get blown up and fall into the ocean and a bunch of fish eat it? Oh, how God's going to resurrect them with their bodies in, you know, 1,500 different fish? God doesn't have a problem. If he created everything from nothing, he has no problem bringing my body back from ashes. We came from ashes, we will return. He made Adam from ashes, from dust. He'll put me back together from a pile of dust. So this body is really just a tent to hold the Holy Spirit. It's how we respond to things that shows whether or not we have the Holy Spirit operating in us. Does that make sense? Great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. It's a lot of fun, Lord. It's always good to play with your word in a serious manner, because these are serious things. But Lord, we certainly want this cauterized in our heart, because there are people out there who are hurting. There are people out there who are being misled and deceived. And Father, there are people there who feel like they're missing the mark. And Lord, we all miss the mark. We thank you that you hit the mark perfectly and you offer it to us freely. And so, Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to them and you're helping them to understand your truth. And Lord, one thing we want to know you, and we want to lead others to know you. And Father, we want to glorify you, and we want to see others join us in glorifying you. Not a church, not a pastor, not a religious movement. Only you, Father, and your beautiful Son, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, alive, and changing us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all.